Welcome to Missionary Echoes, a ministry of the God's Missionary Church of Lebanon, Pennsylvania at 2127 Hill Street. I am Pastor Alan Walter, thanking you for joining us today, and trust your heart will be blessed as we worship the Lord together.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood.
There is power, power,
wonder-working power in the
blood.
In the blood
of the Lamb.
There is power,
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 wonder-working power
in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Sins are lost in its life-giving flow.
There's wonderful power in the blood.
There is power, power,
wonder-working power
in the blood.
In the blood of the Lamb.
There is power,
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 wonder-working power
in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood.
There is power,
power,
wonder-working power
in the blood
of the Lamb.
There is power,
power,
wonder-working power
in the precious blood.
In the precious blood.
Abraham is one of the most renowned persons the world has ever seen. He certainly showed us how to follow God in crisis moments, didn't he? Besides the conspicuous place he holds in the Bible history, he is introduced into the Quran of Muhammad and is regarded by the Arabians as the father of their nation and by the Jews as theirs. The ancient Persians pay him the highest honor and think he was a roaster. In India, too, Abraham is honored by some sects as their distinguished ancestor. The people of Egypt, Chaldea, and Damascus acknowledge their obligations to this illustrious man. But what shall we say of the blessings which he received from God? His believing posterity have been multiplied as the stars of heaven. His venerable name is invested with immortal honor in the history of the church and of the world, second only to him whose name is above every name. Canaan, the land of promise, was given to his natural posterity for 14 centuries as their peculiar inheritance. And above all, from his seed, the divine Savior in due time appeared in the flesh to ransom by his sufferings, death, resurrection, and glory a multitude of immortal souls whom no man can number. Isn't that amazing? Why, stay tuned. Soon I'll read from Genesis chapter 12 and we'll talk about following God in crisis moments, just as Abraham did.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You were my desire. No one else will do. Nothing else could take your place to feel the warmth of your embrace. help me find a way, bring me back to you.
Lord, I'm so glad that you love me, that you desire to experience a closeness to me in my journey on this earth. The interest you've taken in mankind is second to none. You are the eternal God. We are your creation. And how amazing that you want a close relationship with us. Thank you that we can call upon you, as the song has talked about, with that desire for you to draw us close, and you will do that. And what a privilege it is to walk with Jesus and to know you in a personal, real relationship, our sins being forgiven, our path made straight, our record cleared, and the guilt and the condemnation of sin is done away with. And what confidence we can have in this relationship, knowing that Jesus is Savior and Lord, and we are determined to serve you the rest of our days and to be as influential in the lives of others as we can, that they too can know such an experience with this glorious Redeemer and have the hope that we have of everlasting life when we come to the end of Earth's journey. We pray you'll be with us in this broadcast. May this morning time that we spend together be most meaningful. May it prepare our hearts for the Sunday school hour, for the worship services of this day. We just pray that you'll have the preeminence in all that is said and done. And we'll praise you and thank you for it in Jesus' worthy name. Amen.
Support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
I just love that old song done by the Discovery Singers for us this morning, and I trust that you are anchored on the solid rock and that you have discovered that Jesus is the key to life. He makes life worth living, and that He can be everything to one on this journey, all that one could ever imagine. He can be for you and for me, and I trust you know Him today as your solid rock in your life. We certainly invite you to come and learn more about Jesus and this rock-solid experience that we can have with Him at the Lebanon God's Missionary Church. We sponsor this radio broadcast that goes out each Sunday morning from 9 to 9:30. We appreciate you listening this morning. We'd love to have you worship with us at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, at the Lebanon God's Missionary Church. We'll begin Sunday school in just a few minutes at 9:30, and then at 10:30 is our morning worship service in the main sanctuary. Spanish services will also be happening in our chapel during that time by Pastor Birch and his wife and those that he ministers to. And so if you are Spanish-speaking or English-speaking, we have some special services for you lined up today. And then again tonight at 6 o'clock, the evening worship service, Ready, Set, Go, also happens with the children. That's such an exciting thing that we can offer to our families, and we trust that you're already a part of this vibrant church family. And if not, we invite you to come and be a part. Discover something special at the Lebanon God's Missionary Church. Feel free to call us at 717-273-3690. Check us out on the web at lebanongmc.com. In the meantime, stay tuned for another good song and for a message from God's precious Word.
He's in the midst of our storm. He's in the valley we walk through, where two or three are gathered in His name. too. When you feel so all alone, He is standing next to you. He's with us now. Gathered in His name, He'll be there too. When you feel so all alone, He is standing next to you. He's with us now. Our Lord, He's in the midst.
Into the prison they were thrown, Paul and Silas. So when the walls began to shake and all the chains just fell away, they cried, "Behold our God, for He is in the midst."
He's in the midst of our storm. He's in the valley we walk through,
where
two or three are gathered. Be there too. When you feel so all alone, He is standing next to you. He's with us now. Our Lord, He's in the midst. He's with us now.
Yes, I've found that to be so, that He's in the midst, even as I'm trying to follow Him in the crisis moments of life. Genesis chapter 12, beginning at verse 1, says, "Now the Lord said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. The phone rang, and Colin answered. It was his dad. "When I come home, we are going fishing. Get your things ready, son." Colin hung up the phone. He was excited. He loved to fish. He got the poles and fishing box and took them to where the boat was tied. Then he got his hat and some sunscreen. He wanted to be ready when his father came home. It was not long until his father came home, and in just a few minutes they were in the boat. Colin was happy that he had everything ready. Going fishing with his dad was one of his favorite things to do because he believed what his father promised him. And he had gotten everything ready, and they were on their way. Genesis 12 depicts the call of Abraham, a special opportunity that changed Abraham's life. Abraham heard the voice of the Lord. God made him some promises. Because Abraham believed God, he was ready to do what God told him to do. And if we really believe God like Abraham did, we will do what He tells us to do as well. Abraham teaches us 5 lessons about following God in moments like these. So number 1, following God means venturing into the unknown. The songwriter said, "God said it, I believe it, that settles it for me." This piece from a song provoked a response from someone who slightly reworded the concept. God said it, that settles it. From the first statement, one can infer that the issue is based on one's belief. From the second, one can infer that the issue is based on the Word of God. What is important in either statement is the context. There is often a problem with songs in that a phrase without a context becomes part of the thinking in the minds of people. If truth is based on my belief, such as God said it, I believe it, that settles it, then I'm falling into the trap of existentialism, which holds that truth is authenticated by my experience. On the other hand, if the meaning is that God's truth is appropriate to be by faith, then that is a different matter. God said it, that settles it. It doesn't matter if I believe it or not, but I can exercise faith in it because God has said it, and that settles it. Some things God has said are true and will come to pass regardless of my belief or unbelief. Since He said it, that settles it. God's covenant of the rainbow is such a truth. No one's belief or unbelief affects that promise of God, but some things God has said will not come to pass unless there is faith. The conditional promises of God are dependent upon belief. In Abraham's case, God's promise was conditional. If Abram would go to the country God showed him, God would give him the blessings He promised. God's truth is not based on our belief or unbelief. It stands on its own. It stands because it is true. But the benefits of God's truth to us as individuals only come as we appropriate God's promises by faith. Abraham had to trust God with a completely unknown future. God told Abraham to go without telling him where he was headed. God told Abraham that he would have a son without explaining how. Later on, God would ask Abraham to sacrifice this son without explaining why. John Calvin summarized God's interaction with Abraham like this: "Just close your eyes and take my hand." What a thought. If God is who He says He is, you must be willing to trust Him. If not, you will never know Him or experience what He has for you. So following God means venturing into the unknown. Secondly, God's calling to salvation and His commissioning into mission are one and the same. There is a misconception among Christians that you get called to be God's child at one point, and then later He puts you on a mission. But in the Bible, the two calls are always one and the same. God called Abraham with a purpose to bless others. He called Moses by sending him to Pharaoh. He called Peter by telling him he would be a fisher of men. God is like a spiritual tornado, if you please. He never pulls you in without also hurling you out. In order to find out your life work, take these steps. Make an unconditional surrender to God. Ask where is the greatest need. Ask through what vocation you can express your life to meet that need. And as you study, confer with people and pray what is the inner urge for you to do. What you ought to do, you will do. I trust that you are determined to move forward in serving God no matter what it might lead you to. God's calling to salvation and His commissioning into mission are one and the same. It's just automatic. It's to be expected, anticipated, prepared for, and followed through with. Thirdly, I would notice to you today in these five lessons about following God in crisis moments, you are blessed to be a blessing. Are you more of a reservoir or a channel for the blessings in your life? If you are a channel, then because you have been loved by God, you will love others. If you have been given money, you will share your money. If you have been given wisdom, you will share that wisdom. It's all a gift from God. We're blessed by it. We're unworthy of it, but we pass it on to someone else. We're looking out for the next generation. You bless others because that is why God has blessed you. The fourth lesson that I think we can see here about following God in crisis moments is that to become the blessing, take your hands off of everything you have and make God your trust and His kingdom your delight. Notice that God did not call Abraham to minor changes, but to a whole new basis of life. No longer would he find his security in how much he possessed or how able he was to provide for himself. He had to trust God. No longer would he spend his life building his own little kingdom. He left that to seek the building of God's kingdom. Following God is not just adding a little God to your lives. It means making God your trust for the future and His kingdom your delight. Amen. And lastly, to become the blessing, you have to believe the impossible. Abraham had to believe what seemed impossible and then act on it. For you to follow God, you must believe that He will use your life for blessing and that He will give you the resources to accomplish His will. It might seem like this is impossible, but God is calling, and He calls you to close your eyes and take His hand. Times like these are what the Bible calls kairos moments, special moments of opportunity that God can use to tear us away from the world. Wealth has a way, as C.S. Lewis said, of knitting a man's heart to this world. That is a spiritually dangerous condition. But God can use kairos moments of sacrifice to transfer our allegiance from the kingdom of the world to another one. Change the saying from, "Where there is a will, there is a way," to this, "Where there is God's will, there is a way." For if God guides you, He provides you. He provides you with power. Remember, we are made for His will, and only in His will can we succeed. We read in Proverbs 19:21, "There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord shall stand." So, are you in a crisis? You can find help, you know. The Lord helps His people. He may not take away the crisis, but He will give the strength and guidance you need. In order to get guidance in a crisis, remain in the will of God. Genesis 24:27, "And He said, Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of His mercy and His truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." You know, if we take our own way in the ordinary, we cannot expect God to give us His way in the hour of need. Sometimes you will have to act on probability without specific guidance. Douglas Steer says, "If the way is 95% dark and 5% light, make your decision on the basis of the 5% light. And when there is not 5% light, listen to His word." In Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 10, we read, "Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God." Oh, yes, trust the character of God. There may be guidance in the absence of guidance. The guidance is to trust where you cannot see. Do not ask for the whole way, ask for the next step. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, every 2.5 feet, in fact. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet," showing the next step. Not every moment in your life is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, but everyone will have a moment like that sooner or later. And I ask you the question, will you trust in God now so that He will carry you then? I trust that you will, and that you will experience God leading you every step of the journey. You can trust Him to give you guidance in the crisis moments of life. Praise His name.
The night may be dark, but why fear the darkness? I'm walking with Jesus. Yes, Christ is my guide. He walks by my side. Though sorrow abounds and
darkness around, in him I'll confide. The darker the night, the brighter the light shines. I'm walking with Jesus, the light of the world. Yes, he is the light. In him is no darkness. The darker the night, the brighter the light, when I walk with him. The outlook is dark, but bright is the outlook. I lift mine eyes up. Don't despair, cast on me your care. The forces of night just can't stand the light when Jesus is there. The darkest of night comes just before daybreak. Soon glory shall dawn and shadows flee, but until that day, I let come what may. My unfailing light dispels the dark night. By faith I can see, the darker the night, the brighter the light shines. I'm walking Jesus, the light of the world. Yes, he is the light. In him is no darkness. The darker the night, the brighter the light, when I walk with him.